Good morning. It's so good to be with you today. Let's hit the ground running and jump straight into today's topic. There's often a lot of discussion in the church about making disciples. What does it mean to go and make disciples of all nations? Should all Christians focus on making disciples? How can we make more disciples of Jesus Christ? At one level, these questions and their answers are complex, but at another level, the way forward is simple. If you want to make disciples of Jesus Christ, you must first be a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you are focused on being a disciple of Jesus, you will find that a natural outcome of your life will be making other disciples of Jesus, as you daily seek his will, obey his will, and remain in his will, new disciples of Jesus Christ will be born. So today we're going to revisit the cornerstone of how to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, while at the same time acknowledging that this is also the foundation of how to make more disciples of Jesus. So let's read what is the well-known scripture from Luke chapter 9. Then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it." To be a disciple of Jesus Christ, we must deny ourselves and pick up our cross and follow Jesus. There are three distinct parts to this command, and the order also matters. Deny yourself, then pick up your cross, then follow Jesus. Looking at them now in reverse, it's not possible to follow Jesus unless you have first picked up your cross. And it's not possible to pick up your cross unless you first deny yourself. Denying yourself must come first. But what does that actually mean? So let's put it another way. Death of your will must come first. Not my will, but your will be done, Lord. Today, tomorrow, and forever. To deny yourself is to put your will to death and instead seek his will. Have you ever thought about the fact that Jesus died before he died? Jesus died to his will before he died on the cross. Let's read together from Matthew 26. We find Jesus in the garden before his arrest. "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Dying to your will and instead seeking the Father's will like Jesus did is the first step in being a disciple of Jesus. Your will is put to death. Your purpose, your provision, your people, your protection, your personhood are no longer in your hands because you hand them back to him. You then seek him for strategies, ideas, provision, protection, and relationships. You seek the pathway he has prepared for you. You want to do what he asks you to do. You want to go where he wants you to go. You want to eat and drink what he provides. You want to speak what he gives you to say. You want to be like him, walk like him, and love like him. You want to be a chess piece in God's hand as he moves you around. To become a boat in the wind of the Holy Spirit as he blows and leads you. To become a servant to your master in heaven. To become a child under your father's love. Yet some of us try to follow Jesus while still holding on to some of our will. But there's no such thing as a partial death of your will. There's no one foot in the grave disciple of Jesus. Death is an absolute sort of metaphor. A little bit challenging, isn't it? You either die to your will or not. It is his will or your will. There's no in between. There's no his will spiced up with my will combo. This death to our will and then seeking his will is the cornerstone of being a disciple of Jesus. And once you've denied yourself, Once you put your will to death and seeking his will, you then have the opportunity to obey his will. You then have the opportunity to pick up your cross. To pick up your cross is to obey his will, to pick up the sacrificial work that God has identified and asked you to do, to pick up the work that is of benefit to others with no immediate benefit to you, to pick up your cross, not just any cross. You find, for God has specific work set aside for you. Your motivation is your love and adoration of our Lord of God, a love that is then demonstrated through obedience to what he asks you to do. Obedience to his will is the life of a disciple of Jesus. For it is through obedience to his will that we worship and glorify God and participate in his work here on earth. Here's another scripture. Jesus replied in John 14, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching." But picking up your cross and then obeying his will is not a once-off event in your life. Jesus says that we must pick up our cross daily. It's not a once-off decision at the time of our salvation or conversion. It's not a moment in history that we can look back on and fondly remember. It is an action on repeat every day. Every day we must deny ourselves again and take up our cross again. Daily we must seek his will. Daily we must then obey his will. And each day we do it again. Daily we seek the sacrificial work he has for us today. Daily we pick up and do this work. And each day we do it again. Our Father in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Our Father in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in my life today as it is in heaven. Give me today what I need to serve you. Jesus also said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock." Obedience to his will is the life of a disciple of Jesus and also the safest and best place to be. Then he said to them, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." We must deny ourselves, then take up our cross, then follow Jesus. We must die to our will and seek his will, then obey his will, and then follow Jesus. But what does it mean to follow Jesus? To follow Jesus is to remain in his will. To follow is to keep walking in his will. It is present, continuous, constantly remaining in obedience. It's a pilgrimage of obedience, a faith lifestyle of remaining in his spirit, remaining in his presence, remaining in his will 24/7. Jesus said, "I am the vine." You may be familiar with this one. "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." When we remain in death to our will, so that we are remaining in obedience, we will then remain in his resurrection life, and he will produce much fruit through us. The first step of obedience to Jesus Christ is like a vector, or a compass direction. It kind of shows you the way, but it's only the first step. And it's not the destination. moving down the narrow pathway, keeping in step with the Spirit, remaining in His will until we get to the destination, is what we are all called to do. We cannot be satisfied with one step of obedience, one moment of hearing His will, and one moment of saying, "Yes, Lord." Moving in obedience to His Spirit must define our entire way of living. It's the way of moving and being on earth as a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's actually a little bit exciting when you think about it and pause. The promises of God are truly wonderful. What He gives to us in this world and what He promises for us after we die. But we must remain in Him to receive them. God actually warned Moses and the Israelites if they did not remain in obedience, He would discipline them. Again, this is jumping to the Old Testament in Deuteronomy. "You who were as numerous as the stars in the sky will be left but few in number because you did not obey the Lord your God. Just as it pleased the Lord to make you prosper and increase in number, so it will please Him to ruin and destroy you. You will be uprooted from the land you are entering to possess." It's challenging. But the same warning also applies to us in the scripture we just read. We don't live under the law, but instead we live by the Spirit. We too can be cut off if we are obstinate to what He has commanded. What we just read before, "If you do not remain in Me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire." A follower of Jesus remains in His will because it's the place of fruitfulness, it's the place of resurrection life, it's the place of security and peace. We do so knowing the risk and the dangers of drifting. So, as disciples of Jesus, how do we daily seek, obey, and remain in His will? It is through our daily communion with God that we seek His will. In our communion, our relationship with God, He reveals His will and gives us directions, instructions, and answers. Each day we then obey this will. His will is not grasping at scriptures and trying to apply them in our own strength to our situation. His will is not a general understanding of love and trying to live a good Christian life. His will is found in a relational, daily, two-way communion with God. It is personal and specific to the situation you are in, the challenges you face, the blessings He's given to you, and the responsibility He has bestowed. His will is communicated to us in the same way that God led Moses through the desert, from Egypt to the Promised Land. Listen to these conversations between Moses and the Lord. These are from Deuteronomy. "But the Lord said to me, 'Tell them, do not go up and fight, because I will not be with you. You'll be defeated by your enemy.' And here again, 'Then the Lord said to me, you have made your way around this hill country long enough. Now turn north. Give the people these orders. You are about to pass through the territory of your relatives, the descendants of Esau who live in Seir. They will be afraid of you, but be very careful.'" And here's one more. "'But because of you, the Lord was angry with me and would not listen to me.' 'That is enough,' the Lord said. 'Do not speak to me any more about this matter. Go up to the top of Pisgah and look west and north and south and east. Look at the land with your own eyes, since you're not going to cross this Jordan, but commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he will lead this people across and will cause them to inherit the land that you will see.'" God told Moses exactly what to do. If we pause with that in a moment, it's just exciting. When to wait and when to go to battle, what to say, who to appoint for different roles, where to go, what strategies were required for food, water, worship, and protection. Everything they did was a direct result of the Lord's communication with Moses. We no longer have Moses, and we no longer need Moses, for God will speak to all believers with the same voice that spoke to Moses. Pause with that for a moment. For God has poured out His Spirit on all who believe. The Holy of Holies is now open to all who are clothed in Christ, and we can all go straight to our Father and ask. God now speaks to all of us through the Holy Spirit, like he spoke to Moses. Therefore, it is the voice and presence of his Holy Spirit in our everyday life that we now seek, obey, and remain in. By the voice of the Spirit, we know his will. And by the power of the Spirit, we are able to obey and remain in his will throughout our day. There is no other way for a disciple of Jesus. However, some people try to follow Jesus without ever seeking his will. I don't know if you've picked up on that. Beyond that, some people are actually resistant to seeking the leading of the Holy Spirit. But why? Why would someone try to follow Jesus without seeking his will? And some people believe God is only involved in the direction of their life and not the details. Therefore, they only seek him sometimes or when they face difficult circumstances. Some people believe that God has delegated responsibility to us for determining his will. Therefore, we don't need to seek him all the time. We are able to determine the right path for ourselves. Some people believe that we have already been given his will and we just need to apply it to our life. Therefore, they focus on applying truths, scriptures, and kingdom principles in their own strength and also don't seek him. Some people believe that we still need a Moses to give us God's will. As such, they focus on seeking teaching and guidance from others and don't seek God themselves. Some people believe that we actually don't need to know his will, and we should instead just trust God to outwork his will in our life. Therefore, they focus on accepting and submitting to whatever circumstances come their way, and also don't seek his will. Some people don't think about God's will. It never crosses their mind that a relationship with God might actually function in this way. Some people are blinded by idols. They do not even realize that they are seeking an idol rather than God. They care more about pleasing people or they care more about pleasing themselves. So the voice of other people's approval or the voice of their own desires is the voice they are listening to instead. Some people don't know how to seek God or they don't know how to hear from God, so they don't seek him. Others have tried seeking him and have found it to be frustrating, slow, silent, or unfruitful. Been there, done that, not going to keep doing that. I don't know what your personal position is or what you've encountered. The reality is more nuanced. And many of these positions we've just talked about have some truth, which is why people are standing there. I share them to provoke thought on this topic about where you might be standing and why. So how can we possibly unravel this entire spectrum of beliefs and barriers that potentially block someone's desire or ability to seek God's will through the Holy Spirit? We can't actually do all of that today. But in direct response to that question, let's finish today by reading Luke chapter 11. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" ask, seek, knock, come to the Father. He will pour out His Spirit upon you. He will give you more. He will teach you about the things that you have questions about. Obey the Holy Spirit. Step into what He says, what He asks, and what He gives you. And then remain in His will every day as you move forward. That is the lifestyle of a disciple of Jesus. And it is the lifestyle that will make more disciples of Jesus. Amen. Let's pray as we come to a close. Maybe today has introduced you to things that you have not thought about. Maybe today has actually provoked questions. Maybe today has stirred or awakened something within you. Lord, we love and adore You. And we ask for more of Your Spirit in our lives. And an awakening of the freedom and simplicity of walking with You daily through every aspect of what You have arranged, through every challenge and temptation that comes along the way. May we be known as disciples that keep in step with Your Spirit, that are seeking and remaining in Your will. And may there be a multiplication of discipleship as more people come into kingdom as we serve You. Amen. May the Lord bless you. It's been wonderful to spend time together. And if you want prayer, get in touch with the church, with Jesus First. Come and connect. There are many people here who would love to pray with you. God bless.